जया यमुना तीरवनचारी जय कुंज बिहारी जया यमुना तीरवनचारी जय कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय राधा माधवा जय कुंज बिहारी
जय ओम विष्णु पाद परमांश परिवृगाचार्य स्तोत्र सदस्य श्रीमद श्रीमन गणेश भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जाय ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जाय श्रील प्रभुपाद की जाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
So we are reading from 9th canto, 9th chapter, text 8 and 9.
Iti vuktva shanurupo devam tapa shato shayachivam kalena alpiyasha rajams तस्येष चाशौ अतुष्यता इति उक्त्वा शनुर्पो देवं तापश तयोश्चिवं कालेन अल्पायश राजं तस्येष चाशौ अतुष्यथा इति उक्त्वा शनृपो देवम् तापशतोषयच्चिवम् कालेन अल्पियाशराजम् तस्येष चाशौ अतुष्यथा
Iti Uktva. After saying this, Saha, he, Nirpaha, the king Bhagirath, Devam, unto Lord Shiva, Tapasa, by executing austerities, Atoshayat, pleased Shivam, Lord Shiva, the all auspicious, Kalena, by time, Alpiyasa, which was not very long, Rajan, O king, Tashya, upon him Bhagiratha, Ishaha, Lord Shiva, Cha, indeed, Asu, very soon, Atushyata, become satisfied. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. After saying this, Bhagiratha satisfied Lord Shiva by performing austerities. Working Parikshat, Lord Shiva was very quickly satisfied with Bhagiratha. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The words Asu Atyashata indicate that Lord Shiva was satisfied very soon. Therefore, another name for Lord Shiva is Ashutosh. Materialistic persons become attached to Lord Shiva because Lord Shiva bestows benedictions upon anyone and everyone very quickly, not caring to know how his devotees prosper or suffer. Although materialistic persons know that material happiness is nothing but another side of suffering, they want it. And to get it very quickly, they worship Lord Shiva. We find that materialists are generally devotees of many demigods, especially Lord Shiva and Mother Durga. They do not actually want spiritual happiness, for it is almost unknown to them. But if one is serious about being happy spiritually, he must take shelter of Lord Vishnu, as the Lord personally demands, Sarvadharman Paritaksha Mamekam Sharanam Raja Agam Tuam Sarva Papepyo Mokshashwami Machuchaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. Srimad Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter, 66th verse. We will also read the translation of the next text. When King Bhagirath approached Lord Shiva and requested him to sustain the forceful waves
of the Ganges, Lord Shiva accepted the proposal by saying, "Let it be so." Then with great attention, he sustained the Ganges on his head, for the water of Ganges is purifying, having emanated from the toes of Lord Vishnu. Om Ajnanatimurandasya Jnananjanashalakaya Shakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Katamayam Tatati Shva Patantikam Ye Krishna Karuna Shindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Shri Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Shute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarupasya Krupa Shindupaye Vacha Patitanam Pavanepyo Vaishnavepyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vashadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangun Langayate Girim Yatkrupa Tamaham Mande Shri Guru Dinataranam. So both of these like verses, they are like so deep, we can talk about like each of these verses for like very long time, but in the interest of time we will touch upon some of the like major points. As practicing devotees, so the first verse, like, you know, 9.9.8, it gives us a warning about the demigod worship. Why we should not worship the demigods? Because they are very easily pleased. Then one might ask a question. Wait for a minute. If they are easily pleased, I should be approaching them, right? Because they can give like whatever I want. Because they are very easily pleased. The reason why devotees are not advised to approach demigods is that when we are at the sadhaka stage, we still have a lot of material desires. And when we are going to go in front of the demigods, they are not going to be giving us what is the best for us. They will give us whatever we want. If they are like pleased, and if we have the capability to handle it, they just give it. So they don't discriminate. It is like, you know, a child and mother. Because mother has the ultimate welfare of the child in mind. If the child is going to ask the mother for, like, you know, like lot of candies or things like that, which is going to affect his health, mother is not going to provide that. It is because of the love of the mother to the child. But if the child is going to go to like someone else, and if they ask, they might not consider like, you know, the entire welfare of the child. They might want to satisfy the child immediately. So they can just give a candy and the child will be like happy. But ultimately that is the source of that happiness is going to lead to the miserable condition of the child later on, if the child is going to have tooth decay and things like that. So that is the reason why we are not advised to approach demigods. Because they are very easily pleased and they fulfill even our material desires. I don't need to go to Lord Shiva and ask him, like, you know, these are my demands. Because he knows what is my actual demand. I might be like, you know, putting on a show of a devotee, like, you know, externally I might say, like, you know, like, I want only the lotus feet of Krishna, but internally, like, I might be having all these other things. I want, like, wealth, I want fame, I want followers, I want this, I want that. And because they are, like, so easily pleased, they say, like, whatever you want, I give you. Then we will be in trouble. Actually, in this connection, there was, like, one devotee, like, this happened when Nectar of Devotion was first published. So all the devotees are so excited when Nectar of Devotion was published. They were, like, you know, having Nectar of Devotion classes and reading Nectar of Devotion carefully. And in Nectar of Devotion, it is mentioned that one of the devotional activities is that we need to worship the demigod, Lord Ganesh, to remove the obstacles in the path of devotional service. We have to worship Lord Ganesh. So that is authorized. Actually, it is mentioned as one of the devotional activities we have to perform in Nectar of Devotion. So one devotee read this and got kind of confused, because Prabhupada had been so far telling we should not worship demigods, and, like, you know, only those who are having less intelligence, they worship demigods and things like that. Now comes an authorized book where Prabhupada writes, like, you know, yes, like, you know, we need to worship, like, you know, Lord Ganesh. Anyway, Srila Rupa Goswami writes. So Srila Prabhupada, like, you know, translates and says that, okay, like, we need to worship Lord Ganesh. So the devotee asks the question, can I worship Lord Ganesh? And then Srila Prabhupada said, yes, but on one condition. If you want to worship Lord Ganesh, you need to give me 100,000 rupees every day. The point is, like, you know, like, when we are worshipping the demigods, we get all this material wealth and other things. So he was, like, you know, cautioning the devotee. Because when we worship those demigods, we will be getting material prosperity. If we are not advanced, that is going to move us away from Krishna. Because when we get, like, lot of wealth and all those, already we are, at least I can talk about myself, like, so puffed up. And when you get wealth and so many, like, other opulences, we will be like, you know, oh, like, I'm, like, you know, why I need to listen to, like, you know, all these devotees, like, you know, like, I can take care of myself and I can take care of these devotees, like that, you know, mind can play, like, a lot of tricks. So the Lord doesn't want us to undergo any of those. That's why he is cautioning, like, you know, all the sincere devotees, like, you know, don't worship demigods. But in different Vedic scriptures, we do see that demigod worship is not, like, for devotees, demigod worship is not prohibited, but rather it is not recommended. In the scriptures, we do see in many cases where devotees, pure devotees, they actually worship demigods. Like, for example, like, you know, we read from Srimad Bhagavatam, the gopis, they were worshipping goddess Katyayani to, like, you know, get married to Lord Krishna. So they worship, like, you know, a demigoddess. So it is not that it is a big no-no when we are still in a neophyte state. But advanced devotees, they can do it as long as, like, you know, their intention is very clear. Because again, same thing, even if you don't express certain desires, they will know what our real desire is. Like, you know, like, if you see the next text, so Lord Shiva said, like, you know, let it be so. So whatever we ask, they say, like, you know, let it be so. And maybe the reason why we want to be devotees might be something different. It might not be just to, like, you know, at least at the initial stages, the reason why we take up to Krishna consciousness might have so many hidden motives. So when we are going to be, like, approaching demigods, then they are going to be fulfilling, like, you know, like, all those, even, like, material desires, that is going to be detrimental to our devotional service. So we need to be very careful. So that is one point. And the next text, like as practicing devotees, that has a lot of things which we can learn from. So there are like multiple things. The first one is, let me read like part of the translation of the next verse. Or maybe let me read the entire translation. When King Bhagirath approached Lord Shiva and requested him to sustain the forceful waves of the Ganges, Lord Shiva accepted the proposal by saying, "Let it be so." Then with great attention, he sustained the Ganges on his head, for the water of the Ganges is purifying, having emanated from the toes of Lord Vishnu. Couple of things which are like important. First one is, like, you know, Lord Shiva was very happy to do this particular service, which is very, very difficult. Here we can see that, you know, it is the waves of Mother Ganges are so forceful, but he was willing to take that forceful waves on his head. He was willing to do a very, very difficult service with lot of joy. Why? Because it says like the water of Ganges is purifying, having emanated from the toes of Lord Vishnu. Because Mother Ganges is the tadiya of Lord Vishnu. Like, you know, anything related to Lord Vishnu is much more worshipable than Lord Vishnu. That is what Lord Shiva says to Mother Parvati. I believe it is in Padma Purana. There is a verse. It says, "Aradhananam sarvesham Vishnu aradhanam param tashmat parataram devi tatiyanam cha samarchanam." Like, out of all the worships, worshipping Lord Vishnu is the greatest. There is nothing greater than like worshipping Lord Vishnu. But wait for a minute. There is something which is actually greater than Lord Vishnu, like worshipping Lord Vishnu. That is worshipping anything which is related to Lord Vishnu. So the devotees of Lord Vishnu, the places of pastimes of Lord Vishnu, like all these are even much greater like than Lord Vishnu. Why? Because Lord Vishnu is much more easily pleased when we worship his devotees and things which are related to him. So that is the reason why Lord Shiva was very eager to take on this particular service, which is very, very difficult. But he did it with a, like, you know, great happiness. So from here, we can also see that all the great personalities in our sampradaya, they also exhibited the same kind of mood. They take on lot of austerities, things which seem to be, like, you know, almost impossible to do. We cannot even comprehend someone actually doing a particular service. But we do see time again, devotees, they actually render that particular service. Though it is causing lot of physical discomfort and it is actually a burden, but they carry that burden because that burden is, like, you know, a burden of love for them. We can, the main thing is that whenever we see, like for us as practicing devotees, when we see the, or let me even take a step back. Let's say if we see a particular service as difficult service, like, you know, why the temple authorities are so and so, devotees are keep on giving me this service which is difficult, for others they are, like, you know, getting very easy service. Like that sometimes, like, you know, things might pop up and we might be thinking, like, you know, this is so difficult. We feel that it is difficult because we are not connecting that to Krishna. We are not seeing it as tadiya, like, you know, something related to Krishna. Whenever we connect the service to the Lord, no matter how heavy, how difficult, how forceful the service is, we will, be doing it with, a lot of love and a lot of veneration. If you see in this particular translation, it says, Lord Shiva, he did not, just took Mother Ganges and put it on his head. How he did it? With great attention. He did it with great attention. Because it is related to Lord Krishna. So he was doing it with a lot of attention, with great attention. So when we see the services and devotees and other things in relation to Krishna as the tadiya of Krishna, and when we understand how tadiya is, if we are worshipping the tadiya, as Lord Shiva says, that is much more pleasing, that is even greater than directly worshipping the Lord. Even the Lord himself, he says that those who are claiming to be his own devotees are not really his devotees, but the devotees of his devotees are actually his devotees. So that is why, if you remember, I don't know whether it is last weekend or weekend before the last, when His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was giving initiation, the devotees were, in addition to the regular vows, they were also taking the vow that they will serve the devotees and the deities in the mood of the servant of the servant of the servant. Because that is very, very important. That is the only way to very easily please the Lord, who is not very easily pleasable. Demigods are, it is very, very easy to please demigods. But it is not at all easy to please Lord Krishna. But still it is very easy to please Krishna if you know the method. The method is by pleasing the devotees who are very dear to Lord Krishna. So it is like this. When a child is being very naughty, and child might be doing something very bad, and mother might get angry at the child. And when the mother gets very angry at the child can take shelter of, let's say, the father of the mother, the grandparent. And the grandparent will tell, my dear daughter, it's okay. He is a small child. He is, when you are a child, you are being, much more naughtier than him. Why you are, getting agitated? They will kind of, try to please the daughter. And because the daughter has a very strong relationship with the father, she is going to let it go. Okay. Whatever the child did is so mischievous, I'm not going to forgive the child. But because my father told me to forgive the child, I am going to forgive the child. So that is exactly what is happening. When we are pleasing the devotees of the Lord who are very dear to him, then he is going to be automatically pleased. For example, when we are offering some boha to the Lord, we might be thinking, I'm the best cook in the entire ISKCON Shikago or something like that. Whenever I make cook, all the devotees, they don't leave any, a single piece of, prasadam on their plate. They eat so nicely. I'm, really great. But if we think about who is cooking for, Krishna, with which mood they are, cooking for Krishna in the spiritual world, can we even compare the taste of, the bhoga offered to Lord Krishna in the spiritual world by Mother Yashoda with, unlimited love and affection? Can we compare it to whatever we make? Not at all. Or even the bhoga which is probably, prepared in the higher planetary systems, they will taste, much, much, much better than whatever we are making. But still, because we are requesting the spiritual master to offer it through their own spiritual master on our behalf, and the spiritual master of the spiritual master is offering to his own spiritual master, like that they are like, it is eventually offered to Lord Krishna. And the spiritual master will say, like, I know, like, you know, this devotee doesn't know, like, how to, though he thinks that he is a very good cook, he doesn't really know, like, how to cook. But he took so much of austerity to cook this, like, let's say, gulab jamun or something like that. He put in so much effort to make this for you. So please accept it. So like that, when it reaches, that message reaches to Krishna, then he's like, okay, I will accept it. Probably like Krishna might be like laughing at us. Like, what is this? These people are offering something called gulab jamun, which is not even close to what a gulab jamun is supposed to be. But still he accepted it because of the love of the spiritual master to his spiritual master, and the love of his spiritual master to his spiritual master, eventually to the love of like Krishna. Because of that love, he accepts it. Because all the items which we offer to the Lord, they are nothing but tools to express our love. Only thing which the Lord, like, you know, needs from us is the love. Like, you know, that is the only thing, like, you know, he wants. Because only by that love, and he, it is not that he lacks love, that's why, like, you know, he needs our love. Only by us expressing that love, we can, like, you know, go back to Godhead. Because he wants us to go back to Godhead. He doesn't want us to struggle in this material world. He wants us to be, like, you know, like, happy permanently. So that is the reason why, like, you know, like, he wants our love. It is for our own benefit, not because he wants some love. He is Atmarama. He is self-satisfied. He doesn't need anything from us. But he expects that love for our own benefit, and whatever service we do, whatever we offer to the Lord, those are just expression of that love. So those are not that important. What is more important than the items we offer to the Lord is the love with which we offer that item to the Lord. Like, we have different, like, you know, like pastimes in various scriptures, where we can see that when someone offers something with love, the Lord is so easily, like, pleased. So we can, like, you know, keep on offering so many different, like, material things, but that is not going to be pleasing him. But when someone offers, like, you know, Sudama Brahmana, like, he offers, like, you know, like, a handful of chipped rice, and the Lord was so satisfied. And he had to be stopped from taking more and more, because, like, you know, if he is going to be taking more and more, like, Lakshmi Devi cannot give, like, you know, anything more like that, you know. So he is so easily pleased when there is love. We also have the pastime where, anyways, I don't want to get into, like, so many pastimes in the interest of time. So in the scriptures, we do have a lot of pastimes where it is, exhibited again and again, that with a small amount of love, we can very easily please the Lord. So whenever we see things in relationship with Krishna, we can see the services assigned to us as, like, you know, we will be, like, you know, taking it in a much positive note instead of taking it as, like, you know, something as a burden. But if you don't do that, then it is going to appear as a burden, though it is not a burden. It is very similar to, again, like, you know, like a mother and a child. When the mother is pregnant, the child is, like, you know, going, the weight of the child is going to be keep on increasing, and that is a big burden for the mother. The mother has to carry the, like, you know, child in the womb wherever she goes, like, you know, 24 hours a day. It is a burden, but the mother does not consider it as a burden because of her love to the child. Same thing we can, like, you know, see in the life of Srila Prabhupada and, like, you know, like other, like, you know, like great acharyas in our line. How much of austerities Srila Prabhupada took, like, you know, like when he was in 1975, he was, like, you know, having a world tour for 3 months, like, you know, pretty much non-stop. He started from India and went to so many, like, you know, different countries, so many, I think 12 different cities, 7 different countries. He was, like, you know, like traveling when at the time he was, like, you know, like 69 or 70 or something like that. He was, like, you know, when he was very old, he was doing that. He was traveling so heavily. And this was on top of him, like, you know, opening like different centers at that time. At the time only, I don't remember like which temple, like one of the bigger temples in India was supposed to be like opening, and about thousands of devotees were coming to India. So he had to make arrangement to make sure that all these devotees are taken care of and the temple construction is going on, and he was translating the books, and he was, like, you know, talking to devotees and managing so many temples, giving Bhagavatam classes and other classes, meeting with so many, like, different people. He was, like, working, like, you know, pretty much 24/7. He was, like, hardly sleeping. Like, you know, just a couple of hours he was sleeping. Did it appear to him as burden? Not at all. Because he did it as, like, you know, like because of his love for Krishna. And another thing in some lectures Srila Prabhupada mentioned is that how it was in Srimad Bhagavatam, the third canto, I don't remember the chapter or the verse, in one of the purports Srila Prabhupada mentions that how for in a devotee's life there is no retirement. The devotees are not going to be saying that, oh, like, you know, I'm going to be retiring. But in a materialistic person's life, after they do, like, you know, like lot of their work, then they can take retirement. But in devotee's life, Srila Prabhupada writes, as the devotee advances more and more, he or she is going to be taking, like, you know, like more and more burden for Krishna, because their love for Krishna is going to be intensifying. And because of that intensified love, it is not at all possible for them to stop taking services. Though their material body might be decaying, they might not be able to render same amount of services, but still their enthusiasm is going to be, like, you know, like becoming more and more. They would be eager to take on more and more services. So that's what, like, Srila Prabhupada mentioned in one of those purports in Srimad Bhagavatam. So we can also see it from the, like, example of the pregnant mother, where, like, you know, like as the child grows more and more, the burden is going to be, like, you know, increasing. Like, you know, as the child is, like, advancing in terms of his like body mass, so the burden is keep on increasing. Similarly, like, you know, when we are, like, advancing in our own Krishna consciousness, the burden might be, like, keep on increasing. So unless we are going to be purifying, like, ourselves to make ourselves ready to take on those services, we will consider it as a burden. So one of the easiest way with which we can take on these services as a burden of love rather than just a burden is to see, like, how different devotees, different acharyas in our, like, you know, like our own Srila Prabhupada and other acharyas in our sampradaya, they took on lot of services for our own sake. without for their selfless sacrifice, where we should have been. If Srila Prabhupada did not come to the United States, and if we did not take on like Lord Shiva, here like, you know, so happily he took on the service, though it is like, you know, it says like, you know, forceful waves of Mother Ganges. It is so painful. Materially it is going to be so painful. Like, you know, no one can withstand. But still he was willing to do that. And Lord Shiva was so happily drinking the poison. He did not think, what is going to happen to me? Because the Lord asked him to do the service, he said, yes, I'll be happy to do it. So he just drank the poison. So like that we can see like how devotees are so eager. And they do anything and everything for the satisfaction of the Lord. To assist like other people to go closer to Krishna. So without like Srila Prabhupada coming to the United States, probably like, you know, like we might not have Kishore Kishore's temple. We might not be sitting here and discussing about the glories of the Lord. We are the beneficiaries of the sacrifice Srila Prabhupada did. And he was the beneficiary of the sacrifices Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was the beneficiary of the sacrifice like, you know, the previous acharyas did. Like that, if you see how in our disciplic succession, like all these exalted Vaishnavas, they did so much of selfless sacrifice. Why they were able to do that? Because they were feeling grateful for whatever they received. So when we feel that, like, you know, gratitude for the services we received, and where we will be if we did not receive that, then our heart is going to melt. Then we will be take on these services with the mood of, like, you know, considering this as burden of love rather than just a burden. So there are like more things which can be said, but I was told to stop at 8:15. So I will stop here and see whether there are like any questions or you want to add any like additional like comments. Any questions, additional comments, corrections? Yes, Prabhu.
I have a few corrections.
Yes, Prabhu.
No, I'm just kidding. I have one question, but first kind of reflection on the verse, or the last verse of, with great attention, the last point that you're making. I really, really appreciate that point, that like taking on that burden for service, that burden of love, and like for me, kind of in my life, like right now in the ashram, the Brahmacharya ashram, we're building it, rebuilding it, and so it's really quiet. There's not so much going on, and I just visited Denver where there's like 15 brahmacharis, and there's other places where there's a lot going on. They're going on Harinam every day and things like that, but you know, I'm here, I'm committed to this, and it's really slow, but I know in the future it will grow, so I'm kind of trying to take it on like that, like as I have a lot of growing to do, and I have to take the responsibility of helping the ashram build into something like how there'll be, so one day there'll be 15 strong brahmacharis here. So just like, I feel like the message was really of this verse was really really important for me to hear. So I appreciate that.
Wonderful.
And I have one question about the worshipping the demigods,
mm-hmm.
And like getting how You can get what you don't, what's not what's best for you. Like that, if you worship the demigods, they can reward you with material benefits. But actually, those things will take you away from Krishna. Something that I sometimes think that, like, to spread Krishna consciousness, we have to kind of. I think it is true. Like in Prabhupada, he established big temples, and he wanted to establish farm communities. So there's some material opulence needed, in a sense, to spread Krishna consciousness. Not necessarily, but in general, we need the facilities, and we need to take care of each. The devotees need to be nicely taken care of and engaged in the mode of goodness. But at the same time, if you get everything that you want, like if we just have all these nice facilities, then we might not be calling out for Krishna as much. We may think, just kind of become complacent, though we have amazing farms, we have all the food we need, everything will be there. So my question is kind of related to that, like we strive to kind of develop nice facilities, but how do we know if we're just striving for material comfort or trying to strive for nice facilities for Krishna, for practicing and spreading Krishna consciousness?
Thank you, Prabhu. Anyways, there are multiple things. First, let me comment on your initial discussion about Brahmachari Ashram. So when in scriptures, in so many places, it is mentioned that how a devotee sees everything as a great benediction from the Lord. So when we have the right mood, even the difficult circumstance would be the best benediction we ever received from the Lord. Like for example, let's say there is a devotee who has lot of association of devotees, but that devotee did not take it for granted, just took it for granted and committing offenses and things like that, then the Lord might it is not that he is necessarily going to take away the association. Let's say by his own arrangement, he removed the devotee from the association of the devotees for some period of time. If the mood is right, the devotee is going to be considering this as the best benediction ever. Not the devotee association, but rather not having the devotee association. Why? Because when we don't have the devotee association, we will really appreciate the value of the devotee association. Sometimes when we are having a lot of these facilities which people have to struggle to get, sometimes we see that when devotees don't have association of other Vaishnavas, they have to drive for hundreds of miles to get the association. They have to fly across the country to get the association. And we don't need to do any of those. We just need to wake up, from Brahmachari Ashram's perspective, you just wake up, you will see a devotee here, you will see a devotee there, without any effort on our own. We have the association. So sometimes it is good to, it is good to say, take some time off so we can appreciate the importance of having that devotee association. And so when we, though it is very natural for us to be attracted to, like, you know, like other places where there might be so much happening, when there are a lot of things happening, it is much easier to be staying strong in our own, like, you know, Krishna consciousness. When things are not happening that much, it is going to, like, much more difficult. When we have the right mood, we will take that as an opportunity. Probably, like, I'm not ready, like, you know, for that yet. So the Lord is so nicely training me. Now He is giving me so many other opportunities which I will not have received otherwise, because we are building this place. And the Lord is going to be, like, very pleased by that particular service. How kind He is, how kind the devotees are. They are engaging me in a service which is going to be very, very pleasing. If the Brahmacharya ashram here is flourishing, definitely Srila Prabhupada is going to be pleased. And if He is pleased, Kishore Kishori is pleased. If they are pleased, like our life is successful. So, like that, when the mood is correct, we will take, like, everything as a great benediction from the Lord. Always, like, you know, the grass is going to be greener on the other side. And the devotees from, like, other places, they might be thinking, wow, I wish I had this opportunity. Like, right now, like, you know, like, we have, like, many devotees saying, like, you know, I wish I was there when Srila Prabhupada was in this planet, like, you know, in his physical form. So I might have rendered some service to him. Because at that time only, like, everyone was, like, you know, building everything from ground up. So now we are doing the same thing. We are building the temple, we are building the congregation, we are doing those. We have the same opportunity which, like, often we say that, you know, like, we want. But when we are given that opportunity, we might be thinking, like, you know, oh, like, you know, maybe that opportunity is a little better. Anyways, you did not say that. Like, I'm just, like, making a, like, you know, like, point here. So, the, like, often, like, you know, mind, like, plays a trick. So I really, like, appreciate, like, you know, you taking, like, you know, you and, like, other devotees taking this service so nicely, like, you know, like, as a service which would be, like, you know, so pleasing to Kishore Kishori. So that is the comment I wanted to make on your first point. And in terms of the demigod worship, for the material things which we might need for the worship of the deities or taking care of the devotees, yes, that is true. We need all these, like, you know, material things, certain, at least certain amount of material things to run the temple and to take care of the deity worship nicely. But it doesn't mean that devotees have to be actually, like, you know, worshipping demigods and asking for, like, you know, material benefit. Because that is a double-edged sword. If we are not careful, it is going to be hurting us rather than helping us. Rather, we can do this by nicely preaching. By nicely preaching, we can, like, make the demigod worshippers donate to Kishore Kishori, and they get the benefit. So, like, our, like, you know, following in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's and Srila Prabhupada's mood, like, you know, like, we have to be eager to engage everyone in, like, Krishna's service. We need to make sure that we do something or other so that they render even a small service which is so pleasing to Krishna or his devotees. Because only by that particular act, their life is going to become perfect. Because that is the only thing they need to do to revive their dormant Krishna consciousness. That is the only way they can become Krishna conscious, by rendering some service to the deities or the devotees. So like our mood should be like, how can I engage? Like all these people who are worshipping demigods or like others, can we do something? Can we preach and can we make them give some donation so we can use that in service of Krishna? So now we are with one particular aspect. I was going to use with one stone we killed two birds. That is not a good analogy for devotees. So we get by one activity we get two things achieved. They are getting the benefit and we are also getting the resources needed for the service of the deities and the devotees. So that is in terms of demigod worship. And your actual question is how to know whatever opulences and resources we have, we are rightly using in the service of the Lord. So that requires lot of maturity. That is the reason why we need to have guidance. Especially when we are still growing in our own Krishna consciousness, we need to be getting guidance, either in principle or active guidance would be obviously much better than getting guidance in principles. So when we get guidance from the senior devotees, they will tell us, yes, we are using it in Krishna's service, or no, we are not using it in Krishna's service. Because when we have a lot of the anarthas in our heart, we are going to be the tendency to justify is very, very strong. I can most of us, when we read some verses here and there from different scriptures, pretty much we can justify anything by partially quoting the scriptures and partially quoting the acharyas. We can justify pretty much anything we want. It might be material thing and we will be justifying as if that is we are using it in Krishna's service, so it is spiritual. So that's why it is very important to make sure that we get guidance. And in this connection, in Nectar of Devotion, we have a verse says, Smartavya Satatam Vishnur, Na Chatuchit Sarvaviti Nishedashur Yetayor Yevakinkara. I think second line, probably I messed it up. So what it says is that there are so many different rules and regulations, everything. But when you look at all these rules and regulations, there are only two. The first rule, the primary rule is that always remember Krishna. So if we are going to be having these material comforts or material things, whatever resources we might be having, we need to ask that question. Is this helping me in remembering Krishna? Maybe we might not be at a stage to always remember Krishna. Are we going towards always remembering Krishna? Or it is making me forget Krishna? So that is the next one. The Nisheda or the prohibition. What is the prohibition? The main prohibition, we should never forget Krishna. Are these material comforts making me never forget Krishna? At least making me work towards that particular direction where I will not be forgetting Krishna. If the answer to these two questions is no, then we know the answer. The material comfort or the service we are doing or thing which we thought as service might not be real service. Whatever we do has to help us in going closer to Krishna. Is the material comfort helping us moving closer to Krishna? Or is it like, you know, pushing me away from Krishna? If we like ask that simple question, and the answer is going to determine whether we are using it in Krishna service or not. Anyways, this is, I'm kind of simplifying it. So that's why, like, you know, it requires guidance, because things might change based on time, place and circumstance, and based on the maturity of the devotee, the need of the devotee, the physical condition and the condition in the group in which we are operating, and the needs of a larger group. Sometimes we might need to take on some level of discomfort, like, you know, like Lord Shiva took huge discomfort. It is not even discomfort, it is like, you know, like big austerity. So sometimes we might need to take a small austerity for the benefit of, like, you know, devotees, like, you know, a group of devotees, for their benefit. Like that. So a lot of things need to be considered before we can determine whether we are using things in the service of Krishna or we are just using it in our own service. And if we are not careful, the mind will like give so many, like, you know, like instructions. Like, you know, mind will say, Prabhu, whatever you are using in your service is actually service of Krishna. You are a devotee, Prabhu. Because you are using it in your service, you are using it for the service of the devotees. If you are using it for the service of the devotees, the, like, you know, Kishore is going to be pleased. Like that, you know, like mind will say so many different things, but we need to ask, how good of a devotee I am. So like often, like, you know, mind will play tricks and we will be finding loopholes and justify things. That's why we need like guidance. But this particular verse, like, you know, Smartavya Satatam Vishnur, that will, like, you know, like help us. Let me just like look at like that particular verse. Yeah, it is Smartavya Satatam Vishnur Vismartavya Nad Jatuchit Sarvaviti Nishedarshyor Itayor Yeva Kinkara. It is from Padma Purana, which like Srila Rupa Goswami quotes to indicate what is the essence of sadhana vaidhi bhakti, the like devotional service in practice. What is the essence? What is the main rule which we need to follow? Because in nectar of devotion there are 110 rules which one has to follow. And some of these rules might be contradictory to each other. So when we are having those kind of rules, which one we ought to follow? Because if we follow one rule, we are breaking the other rule. So always this is the litmus test, if you will. It has to pass this. Then only, like, you know, like all other rules and regulations, like, you know, like we are going to be seeing like whether we need to follow them. So hope that answers. Anything else? Okay, thank you so much for tolerating me. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.